So it's Pride of Jenny. Now Bates just starts to row along a bit. She's 10 in front off Mr. Brightside. Williams is starting to get animated and goes for the persuader. Then Antino. Pride of Jenny has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night.
Storm Boy 2 lengths cleared from Mayfair. Broadsiding and Traffic Warden closing in. Storm Boy is the leader from Traffic Warden and Broadsiding the outside. Broadsiding and Traffic Warden, they'll fight it out. Traffic Warden, Broadsiding bobbed, won the Golden Rose. The champion T-Roll Broadsiding knocked off the stablemate Traffic Warden.
G'day punters and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we are recording on a Monday night, myself, Ben Coluzzi and Will Alford. We have just come off AFL Grand Final weekend, one of the truly great weekends. It always hits you for six because it is a marathon of drinking and punting. But Wilbur, we got Kingswood home. That's all that matters.
Yeah, and a few others, but no, it was a good weekend. Though the footy was disappointing. I was hoping for a good game, but I was working Saturday, so I didn't miss out on too much of it. But yeah, the betting side, Friday night was like, just again confirms everyone's point that Moonee Valley is the best track to watch the races at. Put Group 1 racing and like genuine Group 1 cards at Moonee Valley, and you will get the best race day there is. It's not even competitive. It's just, like, we'll talk about it in a sec. But that fan, people were screaming at the 6 furlong pole. Like, it was unlike anything I've ever experienced on a racetrack. It was just fucking electric. And, like, if you weren't there, you missed out because it was, like, it was just awesome.
He said it, not me.
Yeah, and I'm saying I don't give a shit. Like, Ben's the Moonee Valley guy. Like, I'm genuinely saying, like, if, like, Cox Plate Day, if you can get there, because Moonee Valley, you know, every race day that I can, you know, when the atmosphere is completely at its best, it's either Cox Plate Day or Manukato Day, you know, or night. So, you know, everyone's just packed on top of each other. Like, the rivalry between Mr. Brightside and Pride of Jenny sort of accentuates it, but. You know, and how she races, like, we'll talk about it in a sec, but she's just the most exciting horse. You know, everyone knows exactly what she's going to do. And
you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, and she just goes and everyone's sort of anticipating it. And when she does it, like, people were, like, full screaming from the fucking 1,200-metre pole. Like, yeah. It was just constant for a minute and a half. It was unbelievable.
The point where the crowd really lifted was when Matt Hill, you could pinpoint the exact moment. Matt Hill goes, she's gone 10 lengths in front. Yeah. And then the whole crowd just went, oh my God, this is over.
Yeah.
She did start to fall in a hole late, but yeah, like I think we got just over 10,000 there on Friday night. Unbelievable night. It's up probably 2,500 on last year. So more people again. And it just shows. Like, we had good weather during the day. We had elite racing. And I think one of the biggest things with the decline in crowds, I know there are lots of different reasons that attribute to, you know, the crowds not being as big as they used to be. But one of the main things is the fact that horses have so many options nowadays that we don't see these clashes as often as we should. And when we do get them, like at the Valley on Friday night between Mr. Brightside and Pride of Jenny, you do get that extra 3,000 people coming through the gates because that's what they want to see. So it's a tough one because every race course sort of wants the good horses to come to their track and they're putting on big prize money. But gee, if we can all just start to work together a little bit more as a national program and calendar and let these champions face off against each other, then people will come through the gates to watch them.
Yeah. I think the four-horse field aspect was really cool as well. Like, you don't want four-horse fields all the time, but that was an extra sort of element that made it really cool.
Yeah. Did you ever go at any of the golf activations on the infield, mate, or get to the concert after?
No, I was too tired. I was gone from the night before. So I just turned up and...
We got the $10,000 putt, the Ladbrokes legendary putt punters. You got to go check it out. I don't think it went off on Friday night, but Jordan Rufford Sharp, he sent me a video of his mate having a go, and he dead set missed it by a whisker. So
I didn't even know that was there. What was it?
Yeah, it was on the infield. You get like one chance to have a putt, and it's like a long range putt, and you've got to get a hole in one to go in the draw to win 10,000. If you're the only one on the night who gets it, then you win it. But if two people get it, then you both go in a draw, and it just gets, you know, randomly selected the winner. So that'll be in the Piazza this Friday night, because we don't have all the different activations happening on the infield with the post-race concert. But get there and have a crack, because you never know. With less people attending this Friday night, you might be a chance. All right, let's get to the races itself, Will. The rail was out 3 metres. It was a good 4 track, and I thought it played pretty well again.
Yeah, the track was good. What was it officially? It was a 4, wasn't it? So it's played slightly faster than that, you know, like somewhere between a 3 and a 4. I'll talk about it in a sec, just with the times for the 1,200 metres. There was a southerly, and like nothing too crazy, but it affected the races. So southerly Moonee Valley for the 1,200 metre races, you can get a tailwind going down the back there. So if you scooter long enough, you know, you're going down the back more than when you sort of like, because it's only 180 metres straight. So you're only in the headwind for 180 metres, whereas you've got the tailwind for more than that. So, you know, like people will talk about the races 1 and 2 going really, really well because they've run faster than what the Manicato has. But in reality, they haven't. They were just assisted by the wind that died off by the time the Manicato was run. So you got to think about it. You've got to factor in those sorts of things. Like people will talk about, you know, just off overall times. But, you know, Stoley Bolly and Gallant Sun haven't gone better than what Southport Tycoon and Growing Up I has. I can guarantee you that. So
I reckon Stoley Bolly would have won the Manicato.
Shut up. I'm my fucking head in.
That was completely satire upon us. All right, let's get to race 4. It wasn't the night's feature officially, but it got the loudest roar. I'll give you that tip. It was a 1,600
meter. It was the night's feature.
It was the Fiend Stakes. It was won by Pride of Jenny, expertly ridden again by Declan Bates, who has gone to the front. Punting form has got him going 5.7 lengths faster than the class average to the 600. So yet again, a good clip. And really sort of poured on the pressure, probably around that 600 meter mark when he did really slip some more rein and put 10 lengths on the field, as Matty Hill alluded to. Has gone to a rating of 104.3 on Form King, which is sort of in line with what she ran in the All Star Mile and also the Champions Mile going back to the autumn and then last spring. So she's right back to somewhere near her best. And you would imagine a King Charles, maybe she could go even better.
Yeah, she sort of built her way up and sort of peaked on a run between the 8 and the 4. That's where she did the damage. The eight and the six mainly, but the 8 and the 4 too. I sort of, you know, you're looking at the numbers, and I kind of think Craig let her get away a little bit more than what he maybe should have, but. You know, this was the Fiend. This wasn't the Cox Plate, which is the main goal for them. So, you know, it's not the be all and end all. You know, how much do you want to push him? I don't know. They didn't go like she went at a good pace. Mr. Brightside and the rest of them probably could have been slightly closer, but that's just nitpicking. Like, it's not. I think she probably wins regardless. I think she's a better miler, but you know, I still do have. The QE is her best rating, but, you know, it came in a very unusual circumstance over 2,000 metres. And I think she is better at a mile. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in a Cox Plate because, you know, obviously she's got to run her race differently. But, yeah, she's back. It's great for racing. This rivalry, you know, it reminds me of – it doesn't remind me of it, but I'm sure it resembles – the rivalry between Sunline and Northerly. They're sort of similar horses. Obviously, Northerly is probably a little bit better than what Mr. Brightside was, but is.
And Sunline's better than.
Oh, well, consistency wise, but you know, at her absolute best, Prodigy's probably a match for Sunline. Oh, that QE rating, like that's as good as.
Yeah, that's as good as they go.
But, you know, it's great for racing, and like we haven't had this sort of head to head rivalry. The ownership's like it's a bit of like it's half a dick measuring contest sometimes with Tony Otterbrey like sort of going over the top of it like sometimes. But you know, it's good for racing. People love it, and yeah, it's really exciting. It makes racing exciting. You know, like we just said, the atmosphere at Moonee Valley on Friday night was electric, and I'm just looking forward to the Cox Plate and just looking forward to the rest of the sprint to see him keep racing. So, you know, at a mile,
who's the one you want to take out of it going into a Cox Plate when they meet again? Do you think Prodigy does beat Mr. Brightside home again, just given that she can sustain that high pressure for longer, perhaps, or do you think he can nab her?
I think that Mr. I don't know. It's a tough question. I really have no idea. I think that at 2,000 metres, I think they're probably evenly matched. Maybe you give the edge to her slightly. I think she's just slightly better than him, I think.
Yeah.
But obviously he can knock her off. Yeah, Antino ran well. So did Trishan, but for weaker races, they're not. You know, they're probably going to aim up with him. Mantino's race was the Underwood, but you know, he wouldn't have beat Buckaroo. But
Can Antino beat another Will in the Toorak in 2 weeks' time? Because that's where he's going.
Oh, is it? Well, he'll be sort of at the top of the weights, I imagine, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he'll probably get 57, 56 kilos, but I think Antino's rated like a 108, and another Will's only like another 4 points below him on 104 or something like that. So there's not, I don't think another Will is going to get in quite as light as everyone first thought.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, if they're sort of evenly matched at this point anyway, there's not a massive amount between Antino and another Will. If they sort of get evenly matched and there's a massive price discrepancy between the two, then, you know, I could get involved in Antino. And like when you start to really think about it and with the weight that another was likely to get, like, he's not a complete certainty. Like, I initially thought he was probably going to get him with like 52, 53, but which is probably stupid when I really think about it. That's not going to happen. But it's not all over. You know, I still think he can get to another level, but, you know, if these top horses, Antino, if Antino's only giving him 1 or 2 kilos, then he can definitely get him. But, yeah, it's a, you know, good racing and excited for it.
Yeah, intriguing stuff. All right, let's skip across to race 5. It was the Scarborough Stakes, 1200 meters, and it was Bellatrix Star for Tiakau has gone back to back off an even tempo. She's sprinted very, very well, and she's put up 2 wins together now. She ran to 93.9 when winning the Captain Tibes at Flemington. Now she's improved her rating to up to 95.2. And one of the big things is she's gone from a heavy track and now she's done it on a dry track as well. So she brought the group on form. She had form around another really good Tiakau horse back home called Move to Strike and also Velocious. So that form is proving to be pretty good against the B graders here, Bolt.
Yeah, these are the B graders. Although I think they're all B graders. I think like, apart from Autumn Glow, maybe Manal's in the paddock now, isn't she? Like, I don't think there's a massive amount between the lot of them, especially 12. I think the best of them are going to get out of a 16, which sort of makes me excited. Like, the best of this three-year-old crop are sort of milers, and that's, you know, in Australia, that's not necessarily common. Yeah, she was good. She had the momentum, which was important. Gigi's Miss Truth was held up on the fence, which was painful. Should have won.
as good a results as I had on the weekend, like with a few really good bets, I had just as many sickening beats as well.
Oh, I backed, how many seconds did I back on Saturday? There were lots of
them. I backed f- four or five on Friday alone.
Oh, yeah, Friday, I mean. I think it was about the same. Anyway, yeah, she's a good filly. This is as good as she goes, I think, this sort of level. She's not going to get any better, I doubt. To be or not to be, fine. You know, she's run her rating. I think lots of these are just hit their mark. They're not going to get any better. Bold Bastille did a bit of work, but she was disappointing nonetheless.
And doesn't Zatoum, run strong 12.
Yeah, she's a squib. She's a two-year-old. Zatoum was taken back from a wide barrier. I think next time, maybe even 1,400 metres for her. She probably should have run third here, or at least a lot closer to the first two in the finish. She ran home nicely for fourth, so she can be followed if they take her up in distance, or even staying at 12 if she draws inside and they can even push forward with her. So she'll be, what, fourth up into that run.
Yep. Yeah. All right, let's move over to race six. It was the Stutt Stakes, 1,600 metre group two, and Evaporate has taken this out. I remember you and I did a review a few weeks ago, and we said after Evaporate won at Moonee Valley by 2.5-3 lengths, and we said, well, this horse is going to Stutt Stakes. He might be hard to beat in that. And he's won, saluted at $3.80. Look, the weight for age performance rating of 96 definitely won't challenge the Sydney siders, but nonetheless, he has put four wins in a row together and three in a row at the Valley. One of the things I just loved about him in this race is he was the proven miler, and he was always going to get that nice map. He's been able to defeat Henline in second, who ran really well for further, and Ruta Royale finished in third, but it's probably the Quinella you want to take away from the race.
Yeah, I think when we talked about the race, I said, like, well, he's probably going to go around like 15-1 in a Stutt Stakes, and like I always overplay like how poor like some of these races can come up. Like this is, it keeps improving. Like it's not a poor rating, but this is definitely the B C grade sort of mile horses. Like he'll go to a Carbine, like, and I'm not going to say he's going to start 10-1 in a Carbine because, you know, I said that about this race, but
they will go to the Guineas first, even though he won't win.
Yeah, he's not going to win the Guineas, but. Henline was fine. I've got no idea what's going on with Derby. Like, it's too hard to say what's going on with Derby because it's probably just, they'll just come out of nowhere. But, you know, he's probably going to be number one seed, doesn't he? Like, unless I'm missing something.
I don't know if they will. He's, because the spring champion, I think, is only a week before the Derby in Sydney, which is 2,000 metres in it.
Fucked, isn't it?
Like, it's ridiculous programming. It should definitely be 2 weeks, but yeah, again, this is another horse that we identified on the review pod a few weeks ago. And I said, this is my three-year-old stayer. Mm. I think he was still $26 for the spring champion when we did our review podcast, maybe a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. Mm. He's now the $5 favorite.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe even shorter. So
Yeah. Dawn Service was pretty bad. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if he's pulled up with something, but I don't know what to, you know, they've hit their mark. Henline's going to go to a spring champion, maybe a Derby. I don't know. they're just the C graders.
Yeah, broadsiding by 10. All right, let's move on to race seven. It was the Manikado Stakes, and Southport Tycoon has jumped out of the ground late here and won his second Group One, the Australian Guineas winner. He's done a Hey Doc.
Yeah.
Won an Australian Guineas, come back to 1,200 metres, sprinted hard, and won a Manikado. I think that's what the McAvoys were hoping for V8, but it's actually been Southport Tycoon, who ran second to V8 in the Australia Stakes at the start of the year at Moonee Valley, who's been able to get up and sickeningly beat Growing Empire on the line. He's run to 101.4, the winner. I Wish I Win ran home into third, but 96.7 is a long, long way off his very best. But Moonee Valley, how much are we going to be forgiving of that bot?
Oh, heaps. It's not a great Group One figure, but you know, this is what we've got at the moment. We've just got to hope that some of these 3-year-olds can improve the sprinting scene. He was really good, obviously. The ride won the race. Just staying toward the inside was like what won him. The Manikado, just, you know, if he went outside like I Wish I Win did, he wouldn't have made up the ground necessary. But they went at a pretty good pace. You know, it was faster than class. So they've gone quickly in growing empire. They sort of slowed down between the 8 and the 4, which sort of clumped up the, you know, gripped them up coming around the turn. And maybe it was, I don't know, like it let them get into the race. But at the same time, you know, if he sustains a good pace there, he probably falls in a hole even harder than what he did.
On Estrella or on Growing Empire, you mean?
On Growing Empire. Like they yeah. sort of, between the 8 and the 4, they kind of slowed it down a bit and tried to sprint off. Like you could see him sprinting on the corner. Like he just picked up and that last sort of 50, he just fell in a hole. You know, they went at a good pace. He's only a 3-year-old. But he'll take massive improvement out of this. He's a nice horse. I still think he can get to that 102 level, maybe not 103. I don't know. I mean, if they're going to go to the Cormor, he's going to be the best suited out of any of the 3-year-olds because he's been there and he's had the experience and he's, you know, it's like practicing against the older kids. Like, you know, you get better when you play better. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But he could bump into Traffic Warden or Stormboy as well. He could be going to an Everest.
Oh my god, Storm Guys goes to a fucking Everest. They're like talking about it. Anyway,
we'll get to that race later. Anyway, yeah.
Southport Tycoon was good. I still think he's probably 14. You know, a race like he's only second up here. If they, I mean, they'll go to the Everest, obviously. But
yeah.
Even a race like the Rupert Clark at the end of the spring. they're not
going to
go.
But he's a 4-year-old. He's going to the Golden Eagle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the race one, I guess. But
get the Sydney calendar in your head, boy.
Fuck. I wish I win. Mooney Valley is just not the track for him. He's, you know, you look at his ratings and it's all that high level, like 103, 102, 104. And he goes to Mooney Valley first and second up. And they're just well off it. Like, I don't think he's off his form. I just think he's just put in races. Like, his absolute best ever run is on a heavy 9 at Randwick when they went at a stupidly fast pace. He wants it as testing as possible. And do you know why he wants it testing as possible over 1,200 metres?
Because he's a miler.
Yes, because he's a 1,400 metre miler. Like, he's not going to sprint. Like, when they're going quick on quick ground at Mooney Valley and he's trying to navigate himself around the quickest horses probably in the world we've got, in Australia, it's just not going to happen. He just needs racing and he needs to be put over 14 to a mile. You know, the TJ was, he's never going to get back to that over 12 because it was just the most perfect scenario ever for him. And, yeah. You know, he's only ever been close to that. You know, when he's got out and over, last time in the Kingsford Smith over 13 and, yeah, I don't know. I just think he needs more of a test because he's more of a 1,400 meter horse than 12 of Mooney Valley. I don't really know what to make the rest of them. I don't know. The Estrella is no good, and the market keeps backing it to be good. I don't know. I don't know what to make the rest of them. Like, what happened to Heisui? I don't really.
Nah, she didn't have much luck. I think you forgive her because she was back in behind runners, sort of getting pinballed around a little bit. And the exciting news we've just found out is that she's backing up into the Danehill Stakes this week because she didn't really get fully tested in the final 400 metres. So I'm excited about that.
Mm. Yeah.
And also because Jamie Carr is suspended, Ben Malham goes on for the ride. So that's something to take note of as well. We backed her at $11. So, Clinton McDonald, please accept, please run. The article's come out on racing.com and she's into about $3.50, $4 equal elect with first settler. So, the Danehill, while Growing Empire isn't going there, it looks like it's going to be a good race nonetheless. All right, the final race was the Stock Stakes and the WA mare, Elsa Fina, has been able to get up and win this. Blake Shin was weaving his magic as he so often does. She's run to a rating of 97.7. She was the class horse in the race, and she still can go better than this, and she probably would have gone better than this had she been afforded a little bit more luck at the top of the straight. But what do you think of this? She was just way too good. And I thought last start she probably didn't get much luck. She was posted wide on a really soft tested track. Mm. Yeah, the punters certainly found her late.
Yeah, they did back her. She's close enough to her WA peaks, which is good. So she'll be competitive in our Group One. Empire Rose should be in that up to her ears off this and off her railway run when she started favourite over there. Geez, ladies, Joan was a little bit sick.
Yet another second.
Another one, yeah. Grinzing a Bell sort of reverted to her form. So, I not necessarily forget about the first up run, but just take into consideration that that was a weird race. And, he was hailing sideways and they didn't make any ground. And Elsafine has like reversed the form. So I wouldn't ever really give her that rating unless she's she hints at it very heavily. So, I'd say
similar circumstances where it's a southerly at Flemington and it's wet, those are two boxes she's ticked. So,
yeah, I guess.
And maybe 1400 meters as well.
Mm.
Yeah, anything else for Mooney Valley? You don't want to talk about the prestigious 9.55?
Oh, no. I refuse to bet on those races. They're just a test of early speed.
I backed Thrilled, who usually has all the early speed in the world and would have won by panels if she had just jumped cleanly, and she was back in the ruck and should have won by an absolute margin. But anyway, that was one of two really sick beats on the night. The other one was obviously Growing Empire. $15 all in. We haven't spoken about it. So what were you going to say?
You go.
Thoughts on the Craig Williams
ride? Yeah.
I know the horse was slowing up a little bit, but what do you think about it?
Like, the flailing of a jockey's arm doesn't contribute to how fast a horse runs. Like, Craig, like, throwing his arms around and shit doesn't fucking make the horse go faster. It's about momentum and, like, it was about strength, like, it's much more about balance and getting a horse to run than beating the shit out of it. Like, fuck, like, the horse, like, there's fuck all in it. And, like, who really knows? But you can't give him time for that. He didn't ease up on the horse. He was riding it out to the line. Like, he wasn't smashing the shit out of it. But what does that even mean?
I back Growing Empire. Yeah. And I didn't have a whole... I didn't, like, have many problems with the ride, but one criticism I do have of Craig Williams just in general is, as good a rider as he is not in the same league as James McDonald, Mark Zahr, and Nash Rawilla at throwing a horse's head over the line. We saw it in the Cox Plate on Mr. Brightside. Like, just the urgency sometimes in photo finishes just isn't – it's just like there's A graders and then there's B in this regard. He's an A-grade rider. But in close finishes, he's not A-grade.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't really think about that. I just think James McDonald wins a lot of races because he gets the best out of his horses because he's the best, not really because he throws a horse's head over the line. Like, I don't know.
Yep. All right, are we moving on to Rosehill Gardens?
Yes.
All right. The rail was in the true position. It was a soft six on the day. There was lots of rain sort of during the week, but it dried up sensationally well. And Form King has got this basically racing as a good track. What'd you make of that?
Yeah, well, everyone was saying that, like, all the people that run the track speeds, it was a four from the beginning. Like, they were racing fast. It was never a six. So, take that into consideration, I guess, when you're doing the form, because the track speed is off, this is Golden Rose Day. The tracks are four, should have at least, the stewards should have the technology to figure out it's a four by at least race three. And, like, I don't know what they did, but I assume they didn't. It's pretty shit. You see it all the time. Like, in Adelaide, there was a period there where the track speeds were like
three or four ratings below what they were saying. And like, it's not 1990 anymore. We need a, if you want the product to be at its absolute best, you need to accommodate for that and provide accurate information. And saying this was a six, was not true. And, you know, it should have been advertised and everyone should have known that it was a four from at least, as soon as, you know, you get the times back. You shouldn't have to run your own stuff. It should be well known, but for the stewards making that very clear.
Yep. No, agree with that. Let's get over to race five, was the Heritage Stakes. 1,100 metres listed for the three-year-olds. Perspiration Botter has been able to get up and win this for your man or your cloned Zach Lloyd, Mr. Macarena. After Bodyguard came out, I ended up backing Gatsby's. I saw a bit of $1.80 and I thought, you know what, he really should be beating this field if he returns to his first up figure. And he's been done a nose on the line, which is sickening. But what'd you make of the win by Perspiration?
I told you those Mornington splits were real. He's gone better than what he did at Mornington, actually. He was bad first up. I don't know what happened there, but those splits at Rennie Morning, that Mornington, you know, you don't run that fast without being pretty good. So he's run quick splits again here and he's beaten Gatsby's, who is, he's run pretty much what he did first up. That might just be him. You know, he's not that good. So, which is disappointing. He would have been a nice horse to, and like an extra sort of B grader behind the nicest of 3 year olds. But he looks to have founded his grade and he's been knocked off by Perspiration. So,
I don't think I need to spend too much time on that race.
No, it's a pretty bad race. It's not much of a form race, I don't think.
No. Let's go over to race seven, because this was a race of interest for myself. It was the Golden Pennant, 1,400 metres, group two for the fillies and mares. Macarena has been able to take it out. SP $4.60 from Amelia's Jewel, $2.80. Is she just a little bit overrated? What race is she going to win this spring? Not sure. Arctic Glamour in third. The big disappointment was Samana in fifth. She did throw her head around and over race pretty much the whole way, and she was back in the field. So that was really, really disappointing for those like myself who took a big price all in. Usually she is this very consistent galloper who doesn't really put a foot wrong in her races, but yeah, she was awful and she overraced the whole way and she was never going to be in it. But Macarena, she is quite a consistent mare, and she's put down a rating of 100.6, which is quite good going.
Yeah, Macarena's nice filly. She was really good last prep in her last run, the Queen of the Turf. You know, only beaten a length and a half to Zoo Gotcha in the tissue. She probably just got run off her feet against some really quick ones in the Scirocco first up, and at 14, you know, she improved. She's a nice filly. If she comes down to the Empire Rose, she'll be competitive in that, but I don't know where they go with her. Amelia's Jewel, like, yes, she's lost, but I think she's just found her level, to be honest. I don't think she's much better than what she's done. Like, you know, everyone sort of, even I thought, everyone sort of just thought she was, like, she'd run the rating, but everyone thought she was better than what she was, just the way she's sort of done it. But I just think she's just found a level. So it's, I thought Tommy Berry let Macarena get away with it a little bit around the turn, but even this, like, all the same, I don't think she was ever going to win. I think the winner was really good.
It is worth noting she has given the winner 4 kilos and she's carried 1 kilo above weight for age. So she still has run the highest figure in the race, which is still a solid figure, and it'll put her in pretty much any mare's race in Australia.
Yeah, she's still going to be in the market, like top sort of three in the market in Empire Rose, 100%. She's still almost got to be Empire Rose's favourite, unless Zugotcha's there. But actually, that's not true because she was awful
last time. What even happened to Zugotcha last time?
I don't know. And the market knew about it too, which makes you really uncomfortable. Like, she jumped sevens last week. On Samana.
Chris, take Autumn Glow to the Empire Rose.
She'd probably win it. 100%. On Samana, she, you know, these, I think, it like makes my head hurt. Kieran Marsh should be questioned by the stewards. I highly, highly doubt that he was questioned. So should Dylan Gibbons, I guess. But why was it taken back from an outside barrier? You know, they've gone so slowly here. She's thrown her head around the entire race. There should at least, like, I'm not saying anything's happened here or whatever, but there should at least be a question asked, because this is just, it's just dumb. It's so dumb. She should have led here. Like, she's an on-speed runner. I had
a settling 1-1 behind Macarena and Tropical Scroll.
She's always been an on-speed horse. There was no speed early. She could have just sat outside lead. They've gone so slow. Questions won't be asked because, you know, the stewards don't think like that. Like they don't believe in pace. She threw her head around the whole race. You know, it's a forgive run. She probably, you know, they probably reevaluate for the prep now. But she started favouring this race. Oh, she started second favourite, actually. But she was in the market for a reason. The questions should be asked, but they won't be asked because it's just how how racing works. But, you know, we're still living 10 years, 15 years behind.
Yeah. The stewards are still position over pace, unfortunately.
And, like, you know, just use times. It's not, you know, even if they just get some sort of benchmark timing and figure it out, it can't be that hard. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. They probably should have one steward that's dedicated to that sort of thing, because I feel like all the other ones are focused on other things during a race day.
Yeah. Like, sure.
Like, honestly, they're probably more worried about counting how many times a jockey uses their whip than track ratings and times.
Mm. Well, I mean, everyone's blown up about Craig Weems and, like, not looking like a, like going mental on Growing Empire, but, like, that they've completely slaughtered Samana a million, like, so far more than what Craig Weems did Growing Empire. Like, he gave that horse absolutely zero chance to win.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the main event. What a cracking race this was. The Group 1 Golden Rose, 1,400 metres, set weights for the three-year-olds. It was taken out by Broadsiding. He was smashed. He was into even money on the totes late. No horse has ever won the Golden Rose first up, and he becomes the first one ever to do it, and he was backed as if unbeatable. He's now a three-time Group 1 winner. He's won the Champagne, the JJ Atkins, and he returns as a three-year-old with the Group 1 Golden Rose. Storm Boy was able to find the lead eventually after being a little bit slowly away. He's gone at a pretty good clip. Traffic Warden and Mayfair have peeled off his back and gone past him, but Broadsiding comes with a sweeping run and runs to 103.5 bot, a new career peak.
Yeah. I'm more impressed with the market's effort than Broadsiding. Just like that fucking smashed this. So cool. You know, 350. Like I couldn't have got him anywhere near that price. They knew about it though. It was like so good. I loved it. every time you checked, it was 350 and just tumbled in. It was 250 when they were walking around the mounting yard, probably 280 Betfair. And it's jumped even money Betfair, even money the totes. It started $2.10 fixed odds. So, you know. When it's starting short of Betfair than fixed odds, you know it's it's a serious go.
There were a lot of smart minds at the Betfair party on Thursday night, and Adam Blanco was one of them, who was a special guest speaker. And he was sort of saying, tell your mates that Broadsiding won't be ready first up so we get a better price. Well, I think everyone in that room who was listening to Blanco said, we're just going to take the price. And I think there was a fair few big punters in that room.
It was a good go. He's run 103.5. It's a big rating. And, you know, prior to Jenny ran 104.3. That's the Cox Plate sort of picture. You got to run 104, 105 to win a Cox Plate. More specifically, probably 105. That's the sort of level a Cox Plate's been won at for the last sort of 10 years or so. And this is 14. The splits are big. Yeah, he's bred to by Tudun Hot, who was himself, even though he was more of a miler, he was bred to be a mile and a half horse. So he's very speedy. I don't think he's probably a mile and a half horse. I think he's probably best trip will be 16 to 2,000. You know, he's very similar to Animo. The comparison will be made forever.
I don't think as a type he's as big and strong as Animo. So whether that's a question mark over 2,000 meters, but I'm going to say
he gets 2,000 so easily. He'll easily get 2,000. He got 16 as a he was looking for 2,000 as a 2 year old.
Like, if he wins the Caulfield Guineas, which I think he will start favouring the Cox Plate. He just will. Yeah. The market loves him. He's the different form line. You've got Prognosis, a horse with, you know, more problems than our man Nico, who misses the start all the time. He misses the start by 3 lengths. Like, I'm on Prognosis all in. I won't make that any secret. But still, he's got issues by missing the start. You've got Pride of Jenny, who's still a little bit of a query at 2,000 metres. Maybe she's a better miler. The same can be said about Mr. Brightside. And then you're going to have this three-year-old on 49.5 kilos with Jamie Carr on board, who's going to be 2 for 2, the Golden Rose and the Caulfield Guineas coming into a Cox Plate third up. He's going to start $3.50 favourite.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think favourite will either be Prognosis or Broadsiding. You know, Prognosis at his absolute best is probably as good as any horse in the world at the moment. But, you know, as you said, he's got his issues. He's a big dumbass. But you do get Damien Laid on it. You know, some of those steers he's been given in Hong Kong, my God, they were bad. That wasn't necessarily, like, he does miss the start, but there's been absolutely no urgency to get him out of the gates at all. Like, they're not, once Damien Lane gets on, he'll be pumping him to get forward.
And he will appreciate, like, the tempo that Pride of Jenny probably sets.
Yeah, I think the missing the start sort of thing's been a little bit overplayed, because the way he's been ridden is just stupid. And once Damien Lane gets on, it'll be sweet.
Ray. I just need him to place for a result. That's all I need.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think Broadsiding a Prognosis will start favourite. I'd be between the two. But, you know, based on this, he can easily get to that 105 number, I think, 106 even. So he's a very exciting horse. And, geez, I was excited by the market move for him. That's definitely for sure. But Traffic Warden, like, I had no opinion of this horse. And he's just, as a two-year-old anyway, but he's just come back so much better as a three-year-old. And that's, they're going back to the Everest. And, you know, I always sort of thought he was a 1,400-meter horse. And maybe he is, but he's obviously quick enough to win over 12. So, you know, nice horse. And he'll be, you know, he's going to be sort of top of the market in Everest, you'd have to say. Mayfair, what's he doing there? Third, he was really, really good. I don't know how to explain that, but he was really good. He's got to be sort of, you know, he'll be probably 15, 20 to 1 in a Caulfield Guineas. And Stormboy, he's around the same rating effectively, 3 starts in a row. There's not much between the 3 ratings. I don't know. I really want to say a mile, but if, like, there's talk they're going to the Everest with him, and that's just makes my head hurt. And he will not be winning an Everest. So, yep.
There you go. I think linebacker, there is a good chance.
He was more excited pre-race than what I was about the market move for Broadsiding.
He's the one who is proven at 1,600 metres in terms of he only got beat by Broadsiding, what was it, half a length in the Champagne on really testing ground. So if he can get his manners right, which is a big question mark, he probably still deserves to be second favourite in the Caulfield Guineas. If you take out Stormboy, if he goes to an Everest. But Mayfair, as you said, like he'll go to a Caulfield Guineas, and I feel like he's the one for Gay and Adrian now going to the mile, and I really do think they'll drop Stormboy back in trip.
Yeah, the concerning thing for linebacker, though, he's a colt, and they want to have a stallion career with him. This was a field full of colts, and he was pretty excited pre-race. So,
2024, but
yeah, no, like
there's no shame here.
But you know, if the aim is to be a stallion with him, that could be tricky.
That could be challenging, you reckon?
Well, it's concerning for whichever what are they called? Breeding thing that buys him.
Yeah.
I do think he probably should be favorite for the spring champion. He has spring champion written all over him.
Yeah. But it's an interesting angle.
It is an interesting angle. It's like extravagant a long time ago. He's made it work as a stallion, but you know, he got very excited in a Colts 1200 meter race at Flemington one day.
I wouldn't suggest it was the sexuality of the other horses parading around him. I reckon it's just something. Just
got excited.
Just got excited, mate. You know, haven't you ever pulled on the boots on a Saturday?
I'll stop you there.
All right, moving on. Broadsiding, what does he start in the Caulfield Guineas? Just quickly, I'm going to say 1.6.
In the Caulfield Guineas?
Yeah, 1.7.
I don't know about that. I don't think he starts odds on. Like maybe 220.
Please, Butter, he'll start odds on.
I don't think so. I think he's... Is there another run between the Caulfield Guineas?
No, 2 weeks away.
So what's the plan with him? It's they're just having three runs, are they?
Yeah, well, the exciting thing is if he goes into a Cox Plate third up, that leaves the door open for Champions Day fourth up.
Cool.
Let me see if he's in markets for the Champions Stakes.
Live betting. Are we going to do Sandown or
Tab Champions Stakes? Broadsiding 11s into $8. Well, $8 is probably still value if he wins.
No, it's not. Probably won't go there.
What do you mean, bro? It'll be Via Sustina versus Broadsiding, Pride of Jenny and Mr. Brightside drop back to a mile.
Oh, true. I don't know. Whatever.
All right. A more victorious one, the Group 2, the Shannon Stakes. I backed this horse heavy last start. And he probably appreciated a little bit getting his toe into the ground, but... he's just been way too good here, down on 53 kilos, runs to 95.9, beats Punchline and New Endeavor. Celestial Legend, what's your thoughts on him? I know he's been carrying big weights, 59 kilos, but he's backing up into the Epsom Handicap this week. Is he just not quite going as well, or was the weight a genuine excuse?
I don't know. I don't really have any thoughts. Maybe he's just not... Maybe he's looking for further. I don't know. He's not. He's off his best form by a bit. So I don't know. He'd want to improve a lot to be competitive next week. So And he'll be short in the market because he's got that SP profile. But
you might get double figures. You might get $10 or something.
You'd want that price if you're. If you're going to back him.
No, you probably should get better than that even. Ferrari is a nice mare in the last. She was slowly away. She's never, ever done this, but Nick Noonan speaks about horses sitting in the gates for a little bit longer when they're being loaded, and that's usually when they miss a start. And I think that might have been the case here because she drew barrier two. She was in the gates nice and early, and she settled eighth. I think there was only 9 or 10 runners in the race. She's an on-speed horse who found bad luck at the top of the straight as well. Complete moral beaten. Took $3 for her. She's only been beaten a length. 6-6 stuff, but she's a sprinter that you can follow. And she's proven now that she can run on heavy ground and dry ground. I think she ran really fast time at Sandown last start, and Form King had the track speed like a firm 1.5 or 2, something crazy like that. So anyway, she's certainly one you can follow. A fast 1.5 last start. But let's get over to Sandown. Do we have to talk about the track, or do we just go straight to Kingswood? First time, Gab.
I don't have any ratings for Sandown yet, so that I can't really talk about the track. But yeah, we'll talk about Kingswood. I can talk about
our $41 winner that you tipped everyone. I think you were getting a lot of love on Twitter, and gee, it was a great hour just before the footy was starting. We backed a big winner. we've filled up the boots and we've tucked into the CC and dries. How good was that?
Yeah, I had to turn Katy Perry off for a second to watch Kingswood. Absolutely fucking pissing in race four at Sandown. Oh god, it was a good win. I heavily enjoyed it.
One of Johnny Allen's best as well.
Oh no, I don't know about that. I was cursing him at about the when they were, he sort of got shuffled back. I think the horse just had that much on him.
A little bit.
Yeah. He got shuffled back a little bit further. Like he was sort of sixth, and then he ended up like 10th. And lucky got a run, but I don't think it would have mattered because he absolutely shat him. So that was I enjoyed that a lot.
Halfway down the straight, the only thing I was thinking was I should have had more on. But it's always the way. It's always the way. You can't.
Well, there's only so much you can have on when it's 40-1. But yes, and I was hoping to have a little bit more, but Betfair, but it didn't. I thought it would get out a little bit. It didn't. It was very firm. So there were lots of other people that liked it. Obviously, it's actually it's a really well bred horse, and I haven't got any ratings back yet. But you know. One of those Bendigo Cup sort of race would be a really nice race for him, and like a Herbert Power, I don't know how quickly that comes up, or even a Kunji could be the next sort of race. Like, you know, Miramasa won the Kunji last year. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't get to that level eventually. Or like, you know, Interpretation won the Bendigo Cup last year. I think he's that sort of level. Like he's a half brother. He's actually a half brother to Eldar Alderov, who won the St. Ledger a couple of years ago in the UK. Good horse, and he's from the family of a really really strong German family, of Alpinista, who won the Ark last year. So, really good family behind him, and he'll get a mile and a half easily. So, you know, Gav's got a really nice one. It's just another case of, you know, you give Gavin Bedgegood a good horse and he will get the absolute best out of him. I'm convinced he's one of the best trainers in Australia. Like, you know, give Gav a good horse, he's going to get the best out of it.
Yeah. And a lot of the things he does are just simple things, like just changing their environment and giving them new procedures and keeping them happy horses. Like a lot of it isn't, you know, it's not rocket science sort of stuff, but he's
just good tactics too. Like
he's just very good at what he does.
Yeah, like the tactics are always good. You know, that horse has improved so much since it's got within 60 days. It's first up 1800 meters and absolutely shot.
I know you're not a trial person either, but the writing was on the wall with even the jump out. So.
I did have a look at the trials, actually. I vowed to myself that I would never watch another trial after Moby Dick won, and the trial put me off it. Like, that was so fucking embarrassing for me. Like, not backing a horse. On ratings, what I priced it initially, I was like $4 Moby Dick. And then, you know, I watched the trial and I was like, I've softened on this a fuck ton. And then it jumped $12 Betfair and I was like, oh, it's so
I backed it and cashed out. That is like
That's even worse. You're a pussy.
I backed it after looking at the ratings, and I knew it was a good horse. And then I watched the trials and jump outs, and I cashed out anyway.
Yeah. The lesson there is: do not watch trials. Just bet on expected ratings and all that sort of shit. Anyway,
all right, Berkeley Square. He was really good. He's ripped home in the third fastest last 200 meters of the entire meeting from a long way back. Jayla Kennedy, 2 kilo claim, got the 58.5 down to 56.5, and a horse who many have questioned his endeavor has put two in a row together. What did you make of his victory?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I did. It was a long way back, actually, but you know, they went really quickly there. And I was worried, they were turning from home. It was about like 15 lengths off the leader. I think the, people getting, too worked up about the soft track stuff. Like, you know, he did all of his winning
as a 3 year old, and that all of that was a really wet sort of spring, and he did all his winning there. So you look at the statistics, and he's done his 2 from 2 on heavy, and he's got a good soft track record, and his good track records no good, but that's only after he, you know, as a 4 year old, I think he's come back a better horse. This, I don't know what really happened to him last two preparations. Really, he didn't come up as a 4 year old. He won a couple races, but you know, he's back better than ever. I think he ran really big splits first up, and he ran a good rating second up. He's probably, I'd say, at least repeated it here. So, good horse. You know, he's another one. He'll go to the Coogee, and he is going to be massively competitive in that. I hope they go to the Coogee or the one of those sort of Caulfield. Yeah, you know, he's a good horse, and he's at least group class, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's unfairly, like, people will say, like, questioning his endeavours, like you said, he's won a third of his races. Like, it's unfair to say that this horse is a non-winner or anything. One every three starts, he goes out to the races, he wins. So it's a bit stiff, but, you know, that's what people think.
Punters are a harsh lot, Bot.
Oh, they are. Like, fuck.
Yep. You know that.
Back him when he wins. Simple.
Yep.
Easy game.
Easy as that. Uh-huh. All right, let's move on to the only other race we'll talk about is the Sandown Stakes, Group 3, 1,500 metres. It was taken out by Desert Lightning, who has carried 59.5 kilos. We know he was a Group 1 winner back home in New Zealand, and Peter Moody and Catherine Coleman have him going really well. I thought Craig was quite stiff, sort of was slow away and sprouted wings late, ran home in good splits, but to no avail. And Desert Lightning, he books his, well, he would have been into the Toorak handicap anyway. He'll probably be the top weight events, Antino and Craig. I might just go to Racing Australia quickly and check his rating, but Antino and another Will, but Craig is the one who might miss a start in the Toorak unless the field isn't full and he can sort of get his way in. But what'd you make of the race?
Yeah, obviously Craig was slowly away and probably wasn't the greatest ride of all time. But, you know, yeah, the winner was good. Obviously, it's a Group 1 winner. Nice horse. But, you know, he gets into the Toorak and he's going to be up there in the market. Nice horse. I haven't got any official rating yet. Just the times haven't come back. But, yeah. I hope Craig gets in. He deserves to be in. He's good enough to be in. It's just the way that the handicapping system works. He hasn't got his handicap high enough. But, you know, if he gets in, he'll be absolutely competitive. He probably should have maybe won this race. So, you know, if he was a little bit closer, it's impossible to say, but Desert Lightning was really good. And he deserves his spot, so he'll be up there in the market. I'd say probably he'd be top sort of four or five in betting there. I'm not quite sure what's going to be there, but I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I took a little bit of $21 for him. He'll probably start half that, but he will have to carry a big weight. The actual horse rating hasn't come back just yet, but he was rated 109 before that. He obviously put down, you know, a really good figure in the Chautauqua Stakes, 1,200 metres, carrying a big weight there as well. So, yeah, no doubt he's a very good horse, and they've got him flying. I think he claimed the scalp of a few good horses back home, including Waytack, Legato, horses like that, and had form around the creek. So, yeah, he's every bit as good as some of those Group 1 horses over in New Zealand who are probably more like Group 2 horses here, but nonetheless, it's good form for races like this. Anything else?
Treasure of the Moment was pretty good. What's his name? The trainer, Matt Laurie, says they're going on an Oaks path.
Was that race one?
That was race one. Matt Laurie says they're going, hopefully, toward an Oaks, which is... that kind of surprised me. She didn't seem like an Oaks filly, but... apparently she's built like a horse that'll stay 2,000. So, you know, she could be like that sort of Amazonian lass horse up on speed in a Wakeful over 2,000 metres at Flemington. I don't know if she'd run a mile and a half or mile and a half, half a furlong. But Yeah, good splits here. They backed the filly by Catachuchu, whose name is Chewing Gum, really hard and started favoured off some decent splits. Not nothing special, but yeah. And Dollar was good too. His spring is back on track. They'll go to a guineas off this. He's 20-1 in a guineas, probably 30-1 with broadsiding taking up half the market. Other than that, I'm not like Aldefido, he's like 50s in a Coolmore. I don't know. Yep. Kingswood, God bless him.
It's surprising they're not just going to the 1,000 guineas we've treasured at the moment.
I assume they'll go there. Oh, no, it's after now. Fuck.
So they have to make a decision between if she's a miler or a stayer.
Yeah, well, I was working on Saturday and I was really surprised by the trainer interview. They said, well, she's built like an Oaks filly, so we're going to go that way. So, I don't know. Like, she should be up on speed and wakeful. So, she could be that way inclined.
All right, question time, Botter. Jazz on Twitter says, WTF was Craig Williams doing? We've already gone through that, I think. I'm going Empire. Still lots of punters that aren't happy. We've spoken enough about that. Chookster says, Stormboy off to Everest. Back him before he resumed. Proven non-wet track. I thought his Rose run was great. Tim Clark to ride on dry track. Jumps the 1,200 meters should suit better. Thoughts? This is our man who needs a few more apostrophes in his questions box.
This is the Coolmore.
Stormboy Everest.
No, stupid. He's not fast enough against them. I just want to see him in a mile. Just go as quick as he possibly can. And maybe they're honestly, they could honestly just be trying to dodge broadsiding and win in Everest, but they're not going to win in Everest because the sprint scene's not very strong, but.
I don't know what Stormboy is. I don't think the Everest is his right race. I don't know if the Caulfield Guineas is his right race or not.
I think the Caulfield Guineas is his right race. I just think that he needs to go really quickly and just run them into the ground, just stupidly fast. And
because
he's got no turn of foot. He's not a sprinter.
Yeah, he probably does need to get rolling even more than what he's been doing.
Yeah, like I was. You know, I think the way he was going to win the Golden Rose was just go like five above and hope they don't. I think if he went five above, broadsiding would have won by about three. But, he's not an Everest horse. He's not fast enough. You know, you saw it in the run to the Rose. He missed the start by three lengths. Yeah,
not for me in the Everest, but not for me in the Guineas either. I'm already on. Broadsiding at $3.50, so it was still the price was still there for about a few minutes after we won. Botch says should we grab the Alias price now? What do you see happening with the market? I assume this is Caulfield Cup. Speaking about the Caulfield Cup, I've taken a bit of $12 for Alias in the Caulfield Cup. I think if he runs well in Turnbull this week, he probably does start close to favorite, depending if Buckaroo goes. I think Alias might start maybe $7, $8 if he doesn't win the Turnbull. If he does win the Turnbull, then obviously he's going to start, $4 or $5 favorite. I probably wouldn't touch the price right now. I think he's only $8 or $9. Ryan Portelli, what do we make of I Wish I Win? Is the regressing rating purely a Mooney Valley thing? Yes. Or is the narrative that he's a horse with a fair share of issues who the stable can't get a lot of work into relevant again? The big TJ run is fading away every start.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's wishful thinking giving him the Everest rating, ever again.
The TJ rating.
Sorry, yeah. But I think he's just being put in races he can't win. So, they should run him in a Stradbroke. That'd be a perfect race for him.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's get over to Instagram.
I heard that they might, or I don't know if I read it or heard it, whatever, that they might be going to the Champions Mile with him.
Yeah, I did hear that actually. 1,200 straight to 1,600.
that's exciting. If he does that, then, you know, you, depends what price. Like, you got to think about it. Like, he's going 12 to 16. Prada Jenny's going to be ripping along, but...
you might get double figures.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm getting, like, if I'm getting 10 bucks, 12 bucks, horse that good, I'm going to fucking back it.
You might have to have an all-in bet, Botter. You might just have to swallow your pride and have an all-in bet, because he'll be $11 all-in and then he'll be $6 final field.
Yeah, and then the big guys will get involved and, you know, he's 12 to 16, fast pace, and then he'll get back out to $11 and I'll back it then.
No, wishful thinking that. Anthony Royd says, thoughts on how broadsiding copes around the Valley Bend?
I don't know. Fine, probably.
I don't think you let that. I think if that's the only thing stopping you from backing broadsiding in the Cox Plate, then you have a bet, because, you know, like, not that many. Like, if you're a good horse, most good horses do handle it. I don't think it's a thing. Like, it can be a thing, but, like...
No, it's not.
Yeah. No, don't worry about it. If you like him, back him. What do we think? This is Anthony Royd's second question. Sorry. Who do we think gets the last few Everest slots? Well, I'm hearing Giga Kick is a good thing to get a slot. That's what Chris Roots has been saying on the airways. Think about it, or Private Eye. I think maybe one of them will get one.
Depends how they go this week.
Yeah, it really does depend what happens in the Premier. I've actually had a bet on Ballinipotino to win the Sports Bet Sprint Series. This is sick areas at $5.
What is that? Because
there's a bonus that's attached to the horse that can get the most. It's like a $6 million bonus, but it's split into different, like a first, second. PVL marketing genius.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And the rules are, you've got to... There's like six races. There's the Concord, the Shorts, the Premier, the Everest, the Sydney Stakes, and the Winner's Stakes, or the Think About It Stakes. You've got to run on at least three. And the big caveat to it, and the reason why lots of horses will not be coming back to run in the Champion Sprint, is because the last race, the 1,300-meter race, is worth double points.
I don't even know what to say to that.
It is one of the greatest PVL dick-swinging moves he's ever done, and I think Ballinipotina can win it. Tice Hunter, heard some people saying the Bright Side bubble burst. Thoughts? Upside-down face, smiley face. I haven't heard this from anyone. Have you heard this?
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
I think if you're an owner of a Hershey, owner of a really good horse, you probably do hear more of the negative feedback, but Brightside's not going anywhere, Tice. He is an absolute superstar, a champion, and...
It's probably just the voices in Tyson's head.
The voices in Tyson's head. Oh, Tyson, just take him to the Might and Power Stakes. We'll have a fill up. He'll win. He'll be a $1.50 chance. Nothing will go there. Buckaroo will race this week. And then he'll go to the Caulfield Cup. You'll have no competitors. You'll be racing Coco Sun. All right. Coops says, how long until the Cox Plate? How long until the Cox Plate every be held at night? That is not English, mate. This is just not English.
Oh, fuck.
How long until the Cox Plate's held at night?
I don't know.
I reckon. Look, without, this is actually has not been discussed. This is no word of a lie. Hasn't like been like confirmed or anything like that. But if it's ever going to happen, there, it's probably going to happen when the new track is back up and running in a few years' time. Coops, is linebackers' cultiness becoming a problem, and should they consider the snip?
They won't consider the snip because he's well bred. But
if he doesn't win anything this spring or next autumn, then they'll consider it.
Yeah, they'll do it after next autumn when he's a 4-year-old, I'd say.
Yeah. If he doesn't win anything, then you've got to consider it, because you've got to have some type of win on the page. Coops, thoughts on Militarized potential return to racing after shooting blanks at stud? Is that a thing, is it?
I did not know that. I didn't hear it. I have not heard that at all. But maybe if it is a thing, it's exciting, because he shouldn't have been shuttled off. I still want to see him in a mile and a half.
Yeah.
I want to see him in a Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, I reckon 2,000 meters is his best distance, but Yeah, no, he was a ripping horse. You know, what did he start favourite in a round with Guineas? Only just got beaten by Celestial Legend. Like,
yeah,
he's one dual Group One winner. Coops, he's got your same ideology. Is linebacker gay? Maybe. We'll never know that. Maybe he'll be shooting blanks as well once he goes to start, or maybe he won't be shooting them at all. Coops, what path should the four from the Golden Rose all take now for the spring? Broadsiding and Mayfair will go to the Caulfield Guineas, and Stormboy is sort of 50-50, and Traffic Warden will go back to 1,200 metres and run in Godolphin's Everest slot. I would be shocked if they didn't. Apparently, James has come out today and said it's not guaranteed. Seriously, James, what else are you going to run? You've got Commemorative, you've got Arf Cabin and Valana, and Traffic Warden is conservatively 2.5 lengths better than any of them. Don't know. Coops, should Growing Empire go to the Everest, and could he win it?
Growing Empire?
Yeah.
Of course he'd win it if he's there, but I wouldn't back him right now.
Should he go there, or should he just go straight to the Cornwall and go and win the Cornwall?
Well, he can still do both. He can go to the Everest and the Cornwall. Does he go to now? Like, what's the 3-odd race on?
Nah, he will just go straight to the Cornwall. You can do both, but what if he does go to Sydney, has a bad experience, and they don't get him back, and he misses his chance to win a Group 1 this prep? That's just worst case scenario. It's a tough one.
Yeah, they probably don't risk it.
I reckon they'll just go straight to Ed Coolmore, and I reckon they'll take Komochi in the Yulong slot, who won't win, but she was okay in the Manicato.
Yeah, she was her running so well. Like, she ran fourth, which was surprising to me. Her running fourth on Saturday, that supports that theory that she'll get the slot, I guess.
Yeah. Struba, given my form on the den, is Struba in for a permanent spot on the podcast? Broadsiding best bet. I wish I win the place best bet. We're eating steak this week. P.S. Thanks, Bot, for Kingswood and Thames Places. Thanks, Ben, for, I don't know, heaps of wins. well done, Stu. He actually was tipping up I wish I win to place all week at whatever it was, even money to run top three, and probably a nervous watch for him in the end as I wish I win just scrambles into third. and broadsiding was also a nervous watch, sort of. It always looked like he was going to get there, that final 100, but yeah, it was an exciting final 100.
On the turn, I thought he was half in trouble. I was like, they've left it in the bag, but and then got it.
Yeah, I thought Traffic Warden was home at the 200, just the way he cruised into it. And then you just saw the aft cap. What the fuck am I saying? Broadsiding's action start to really click into gear. All right, let's wrap up there. Bot, what are you most excited for this Saturday, moving day they call it, at Flemington Turnbull Stakes? Any races that pique your interest early, or horses you're looking forward to seeing?
I have no idea what's running, so I can't help you. What about you? You're a better person to ask than me. I don't know what's running. I've got to worry about Cranbourne on Wednesday.
I maintain Via Sestina, better the carnival. She'll win it, and Huetor will run into third for us at a big price each way all in. So that's what price I'm looking forward to.
Huetor?
It was $41.
Yeah, well, the better the spring's already been run and won, mate. So,
Kingswood, pay up. Go the Grey. Go Gav Bedgegood. Go the Brisbane Lions. I was very happy that they got over the line, and I had a bet. So, it's been a good weekend, but we're looking forward to an even better one this Saturday. We'll be back here on Thursday night to go through Turnbull Stakes Day at HQ.